You take your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Revelation, the last book of Scripture, Revelation chapter 4, and we'll this morning be reading verses 1 through 6, verses 1 through 6 of Revelation 4. And this is the word of the Lord. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I had heard, like the sound of a trumpet speaking with me, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he was sitting... He who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardius in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, like an emerald in appearance. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. Out from the throne come flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was something like a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And that is God's word. Well, we've had the seven letters to the seven churches, and they're the Lord calling them to repentance. And if they don't come and repent, the Lord will snuff out their lampstand or destroy them. And John, after that, sees another vision, a door open in heaven, and he hears Jesus calling in a loud voice. He describes his voice as the sound of a trumpet, which we heard described just like Jesus' voice in chapter 1. And he's calling him, Jesus is calling John, the apostle, to come up and show him what must take place in the future. That is, the Lord's calling John to come and see what's going to happen in the future. John was in the Spirit. It says at that moment his soul was drawn away from all of his surrounding objects, and it was wholly fixed on the things that he was seeing in the vision. And what he is fixed on at first here is the throne in our passage. You see the word throne seven times in these six verses, 17 times in chapters 4 and 5. And so what is being shown to John here is the center of everything. It's the center, we might say, of the universe. Verses 5 and 6, out from the throne and before the throne come various things. And so you see this picture of that here is the center of everything. It is the throne of the living God. And why show us the throne? But to show John and therefore us and the church that all things are governed right there. All things in God's providence happen right there at the throne. They're governed by the Lord on the throne. And that's what we're going to see in the next few chapters. Because this is setting the context for chapters 4 through 6. And even then into 7 and 8. And so he's showing us this to build a context. And that's why the description of the throne precedes what we're going to see is a symbolic prediction of trials and tribulations. The book of the seven seals, chapter 5, that'll show us the different tribulations and trials and the persecutions that we are going through today and that the church has been going through since John's day and even until Christ returns. And so the main point here, as we experience these trials and tribulations on the earth, for chapters 4 and 5 is what we see, what the psalmist says. The psalmist says, "Look, the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits above the cherubim. Let the earth be moved." And that's the picture we have here. And it's the assurance of that truth should bring us comfort, at least to the believer's heart, in the midst of trials and tribulations. Because in the context of these trials and tribulations and persecutions and all these struggles that we are going through, no matter what they are, it is the Lord who sits on the throne. And it's the Lord who has decreed all things to take place in His providence for a very important reason, for Him to be glorified. And sometimes what we're going through is a very great struggle. And we're trying to put that with God has to be glorified through this. And yet God promises that He'll work all things together for our good. And so right here, even in the context of those trials, we are to look to the throne. We're to look to the throne and see the Lord is on the throne. He's in control. He's planned all of this to happen. And so we can be comforted. We know that He's in control. He's going to work it for our good. He's going to work it for His glory. So here's the center of the universe of all of existence. And it says here in this passage, behold the throne. And here's the Holy of Holies of the heavenly temple, which we sort of read about in Hebrews in the call to worship. Here God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, as He is always. But here we see it very clearly. The Father sits upon the throne. He cannot be described. He's only described by what, in a simile. It's like this. Just as we'll see in John this evening, when we hear about Jesus' baptism and how the Spirit descended like a dove. Not that He was a dove, or He came in the appearance of a dove, but He was like a dove. And here it's the same with the Father, that He comes, and we see a simile that John uses. He cannot be described, can He? He cannot be described to our finite minds. So here we're called, at least in an application, not to make images of Him because we cannot describe Him. Here it's only describing His effulgence and His radiance. He's represented as surrounded by jasper stone, a crystal clear flashing luster, white and consuming, showing His holiness, and the red sardius expressing His holiness in the form of judgment. That He's on the throne and He will bring judgment upon those who are bringing the persecutions and the trials upon you. And He, this Lord Father, He cannot tolerate sin. And so we have the seven lamps of burning fire and the lightning flashes and the sounds of thunder. Beloved, we are to tremble as we come to worship even now because we come before the throne. Because He's a holy God. And yet, we can draw comfort from this holy God because around the throne it describes what? A rainbow. That the storm is over. That the greatest part of the storm is over, signifying that. And Christ has stood in the sinner's place already. He's received the wrath of God for His people. Even though God's holiness cannot tolerate sin and must be expressed in judgment, yet these very woes have as their purpose the salvation of the sinner. And they have as the more complete sense of salvation, they have the meaning of the purpose of our sanctification, our cleansing of sin, even as we go through these trials and tribulations. And so come unto Him for salvation, because He's the Holy God. If you don't come unto Him, you will come under the wrath of God, as we'll learn again this evening in John, lest His judgments come down upon you. Beloved, we worship this day a holy God, and yet He is also the God of comfort. He's, for the believer, He's the one who's on the throne. He's King, and He's Lord, and we are under Him, and He's taking care of us. He keeps us, and He is the God of comfort for us. We have the picture of the rainbow, knowing that the sacrifice and the wrath has already been poured out upon His Son for His people, those who believe in Him. Let's pray to our God. Our Father, we do praise You. Thank You for this great picture of the throne. In some ways, it should cause us to tremble as we even come and pray right now and worship You through Your Son and by Your Spirit. And yet, as it should cause us to tremble, it should also bring us great comfort and joy. This is the fear of the Lord. This is what the Lord wants for us here in Revelation. We know, Lord, because it shows us this picture of the throne, and yet it's encompassed not just with fear and trembling, but with joy and comfort. And so it's that fear of the Lord that's talked about in Proverbs 1 and all throughout Scripture, that it's somewhat an intermixing of fear and trembling, and yet an awe and a wonder of your grace and your love for us. And so, Lord, that is what we are to picture here as we believers come, as the church comes before your throne and worships you. And yet all who oppose you and all who are apart from you, and even perhaps some here this morning, Lord, we ask that you would give them clarity that what they stand before and sit before now is a holy God, a God who there is no comfort in apart from Jesus Christ. And there is no joy and wonder and awe that they can see. But we pray that you would cause them to see it, and you would cause them to believe and give them your Spirit that they can believe, so that they can see this great God, the God of who sits on the throne, and at the right hand is the Son, and the Spirit in our hearts. Father, give them that Spirit. And draw to all of us. Give us comfort and peace, even in our present circumstances, even in present tribulations and present trials. For you are the God of comfort, and the God of love, and the God of grace, and the God who works all things together for good to those who are called, to all those who love you, according to your purpose. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.